Nehemiah 9. Finish up what we began last week. Nehemiah 9, verse 4, probably most of the rest of the chapter. Goes down through the history of the nation of Israel. And if you kind of read down through there fast, skim down through there, you'll see around verse 9 and 10 that they saw great signs and wonders, great miracles. Verse 11, they walked through the middle of the Red Sea. Verse 12, they were led by the pillar of the cloudy pillar and a pillar of fire. Verse 13, they heard God's voice speak from heaven. Verse 14, God made known his holy Sabbath unto Moses. 15, they had manna, water from a rock, and all those blessings. And then verse 16, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks. And in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. And then following, so forth. There's more there. Let's go ahead and pray there. Lord Jesus, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. Thank you for testimony of people in the Old Testament, nation of Israel. Lord, I pray you'd help us as individuals to learn from their history. Change accordingly, and I pray you'd help us to understand about the hard-heartedness, and Lord, I do pray you'd help us to have tender hearts towards Thee. Okay, last week I mentioned seven steps down a road of hard-heartedness, and just real quickly a brief review. Basically, last week I said that the hard heart begins, as far as the process goes, it's a slow process. And it begins when a person leaves their first love. And that'll be Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, when they leave the first love of God's goodness and God's mercy. Okay, then the second step down was an unbelief of the testimony of honest people. That'll be Mark chapter 16, verse 14, when the disciples that said their heart was hardened after they heard about the resurrection of Jesus from the ladies that went to the tomb, Mary Magdalene and Mary and all them, and they refused to believe the testimony from honest people. It's understandable to refuse the testimony of dishonest people, but to take heed to the testimony of honest people, well, that's another ballgame. Not that you have to believe it, but at least you want to check it out. Okay, the step three down this road of a hard heart is an unbelief of the living God himself. That would be Hebrews 3:12, where the Jews not only did not believe the testimony of the prophets in the Old Testament, they didn't believe God himself from the prophets. You see, that's kind of the step there. It goes from the testimony of the prophets to the testimony of God. Okay, I mentioned that last week. Okay, then number four last week, I mentioned that sin, people sin to try to retain the former blessings that they had in the past. Okay, example, nation of Israel in the Old Testament, when they obeyed God, according to Deuteronomy 15, as a nation, they would become the rightful international banking group of people if they obeyed God, Deuteronomy 15. But since as a nation they have disobeyed God, today they are in control of the international banking system, but it's done through an apostate situation. They're trying to retain their former blessings or former wealth that they had, would have had legitimately under the obedience of God as a nation, but they don't have legitimately now. They're trying to retain that prosperity, but they're doing it in a wrong fashion. That would be Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, mentioning the deceitfulness of riches or the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, as God continues to work on a person, If they start losing those so-called blessings, then they will sin out of outright rebellion against God. And that was illustrated by King Saul in the Old Testament. And then step six was when they're, like King Saul's situation, where he was approached by Samuel. He wanted to justify himself. He refused to repent. He refused to get right. And that was found also in Zechariah chapter 7, what I mentioned last week. And then the last thing is it's a pride of a reprobate mind. So those are the seven steps down the road to a hard heart. None of us would dare believe that we'd get down that road, but it can happen. And so I want to give you the help for the hard heart today, the cure. Number one, the cure you find in Psalms 42. The first thing is we got to do is remember. We got to remember. Remember things of the past. One of the Ten Commandments is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The reason why we do that, of course, today is not Sabbath. It's Sunday. The Sabbath for the nation of Israel. But the reason why the Lord has instructed us to set aside Sunday in the New Testament is that so we slow down and we remember what God has done for us in the past. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Psalms 142 verse 1, it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." Remember God. Remember what he's done for us. John 4 verse 24 says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we need to look back and remember what God has done for us. Hebrews 10:25, famous verse. Preachers usually use it, Baptist preachers in particular, where it says, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. The reason why we don't want to forsake church or the preaching of the Word of God is because when you're down, then hopefully I can help encourage you, or other people help encourage you through fellowship. When I'm down, then a person helps encourage me through the fellowship. Back and forth, we try to remember what God has done for us. The first step or first part to cure a hard heart is just to sit down and think. Remember. Remember your former life as far as before you got saved. Remember God's mercy, how he's given mercy to us. Remember the eternal picture that God has for us in the future, where we're all going to stand before God. We're all going to stand before Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. Remember that. Don't forget that. Guys in jail, never, never lose sight of the fact that they're going to be in front of a judge someday. That's always in their mind. And we need to always keep in our mind, I'm going to be in front of a real judge someday, an honest judge, and that would be Jesus Christ. So we got to remember these things. Now what's going to help us remember, look if you would in Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Our heart gets a little hard, and so we need a tenderizer on that thing. Need a tenderizer. You know how they tenderize meat? So you take a hammer and you whack that thing, you beat on that thing, tenderize that meat. Well, we need something to tenderize our heart. Jeremiah 23, verse 29, it says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces?" The Bible will tenderize our heart. And when you go through persecutions of this world, when you go through troubles, when you find out the world doesn't think highly of Bible-believing Christians, read John chapter 15 where the Lord told the disciples, he said, "Well, the world hated me, it's going to hate you. Don't be surprised." And so that's the way it goes. So we remember those things. And then the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, comes in and shows us things in the Old Testament. And that's what the Old Testament's written for our comfort and learning, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And the advantage we have when we read through the Old Testament, it takes an entire life and squeezes it down into a few short words. They call that, I think, a zip drive, something like that. You squeeze that thing down in a few short words, and here you can see 70 years in just a few short words. You can see 100 years of somebody's life in a very short words. Where life is too short just to learn from your own mistakes, but if you look back at the mistakes and the failures of other people, that's been crammed down in a few short words, then we don't have to repeat the same errors. Life's too short to learn from your own mistakes. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, to people that have some wealth, he says to those people, remember it was me that gave you power to get wealth. Any of us are susceptible of bankruptcy in just minutes. Get sick like that, thrown in a hospital for 3-4 days, you're done, if you don't have insurance especially. Unless God intervenes. And we're so susceptible traveling on the highways the way we do. Just one person, as you're coming this way, at the right time, you know, look at their radio, adjust the radio, turn this way, hit the steering wheel, or a tire blows at the right time, all of a sudden hit you head on. We're so fragile. We need to remember these things. Life is fragile. It needs to be handled with prayer, they say. And so, one of the cures of a hard heart is to slow down and think. That's one thing the devil does to us, and the world system is the world system wants you and I to just work and strive and work and work and work, try to make ends meet so that we don't have time to study, we don't have time to read, we don't have time to pray, we don't have time to do anything but get up, go to work, come home, get up, go to work, come home, get up, go to work, watch TV. I mean, that's how the thing goes. Turn the TV on, turn the radio on, noise here, noise there. Everybody's going here all over the place. You don't have time to slow down. You can't hear the still small voice anymore. We have all these time-saving devices. We don't have time for anything. Everything in the house is run by switches except the kids. I mean, we need to remember. The second thing is we need to reminisce. We'll look, if you would, in Psalm 63. Reminisce. There's several magazines that come out of Wisconsin. They're real gloss-colored magazines, real nice-looking magazines. One called Farm and Ranch. One's Country Woman. One's, I think, Birds and Blooms or something like that. And they have one called Reminisce. And what it is, it gives pictures and history about the good old days in America. And we need to reminisce and remember what has happened in our country and just look at the good old days. A person that fails to study history is destined to repeat it. Psalm 63, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. There's the first part, remember, and there's the second part, meditate, it says here, but a reminisce about things. Slow down and think. Look what's happened to our country. Study and see and read, find out what happened to the founding fathers, the sacrifices they paid. The sacrifices they made just to get this country started, and then the mess it's heading towards. And people say it's not worth it. I wonder if old Sam Adams said it wasn't worth it now, looking down here. And they got a beer named after him now. Samuel Adams. Bet he don't appreciate that. I mean, you read about old honest John Hart, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. He built a church, I think it was in Virginia, built a Baptist church in Virginia. Not meaning as a pastor, I mean he helped build the physical structure. Kissed his wife and children goodbye and ran for his life because they put a hit on him because he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. One night he spent night in a doghouse, shared it with a dog. His wife died from sickness. Never saw his wife again. Many of his children died in poverty. He did that for physical liberty. And I do believe he also did it for God and for things like that. But as far as liberty we have in our country, but look what the Lord's done for us for spiritual liberty. Reminisce. Look at the sacrifices that true patriots had for the Lord Jesus in the past. And prophets and Christians that suffered for our Savior in the past. And reminisce and read about those things. And find out that we don't have it so bad. Reminisce. The third thing and last thing is Job 23 verse 12. Job 23. Oh, Job, he worried about this. He worried about it in Job 23, verse 12. He says, neither have I gone back from thy commandments, from the commandment of thy lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Verse 16, he says, for God maketh my heart soft. God maketh my heart soft. He's the only one that can make our hearts soft. And the Almighty troubleth me. I guess he does it through that way. He makes our hearts soft. You see, our hearts are like clay. Of course, we know in the Bible where it talks about the potter and the clay. Jeremiah 18. But our heart's like clay. And if our heart gets dry, it's susceptible to breakage. You take dry clay, you can't mold it. It's going to break on you. It's going to crack. If our heart is like clay, the only way our heart is going to be moldable, it's going to be pliable, is it's going to have moisture. It's got to have moisture in it. You see them old potters, and they'll take that water and that sponge and throw it on that clay, and they'll spin that thing, and they'll throw that water in that clay, and that water is this book. And this book is the moisture that's going to keep our heart soft. Yes, it's like a hammer, let it said in Jeremiah 23, but it's also moisture. And it says, Jesus said, now you're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. And the only way our heart's going to stay soft is going to retain the moisture of the word of God. And we need to repent. We need to repent and get right when our heart gets hard. Anywhere along the line, when we sense that our heart's getting hard or calloused, we need to get in the Word of God and let that book soften our heart, and then we need to have an honest confession, like David did in Psalms 51. I mean, this psalm is a psalm about confession. And he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. There's the moisture. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. If you drop down to verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's the moisture. That's the water. We ask God to take that sponge of that water and throw it on the clay, as Jesus Christ is the potter. And he molds our hearts and softens our hearts through the Word of God. And when he softens our heart, then we can get back to where we have a tender heart towards God. And then we try to stay away from these steps, but yet as humans, we just keep going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth on these things. We keep getting beat down by the world, and we get hard. And then the Lord got to soften us. And we get beat down. You go to work tomorrow, and you got to get put up with this cussing and a lying and a screaming and everything and a griping and a dirty stories you hear them talking about all week long. And you get tired of that Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. By Thursday, you're getting sick of it. You're getting sick of these people. You just like to wring their neck sometimes. And come Friday, your heart's getting hard at these people. And you get back, and the Word of God comes Sunday, you kind of try to get a softer heart. Repent, repent. The Lord wants us to keep a soft heart. Keep it moldable, keep it pliable, keep it moisturized with the Word of God. I mean, we take moisturizing cream in our hands so they don't crack, get calloused and hard. And the Lord has given us a blessed book so that we spend time in this blessed book, and then this book will soften our heart. And the Spirit of God will comfort our heart through this blessed book, and then He will mold our heart and change it the way He wants it. That's the cure for a hard heart. Down these steps to a hard heart, we ask that we help us, God, help us remember. Lord, please help us reminisce and think about things. And Lord, please grant me repentance so that I stay close to Thee. Okay, we'll stop there. Lord, Jesus, I do pray that You'd help us to be faithful to Thee. Lord, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Lord, I pray You'd help us have a soft heart, tender heart towards Thee. Be faithful to Thee. Help us to be sensitive towards Your leading. Be tender towards Your leading. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The instruments play a song, the invitation song. If you need to use the altar, it's open for you. Lord, I pray You'd open our hearts, open our eyes, our minds to the Word of God. I pray that our minds and hearts will be open to the truth and soft and tender to what You have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.